Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Welcome to Paranormal Investigator Radio. I am one of your hosts this evening, Steve Roscoe.
And I am Rich Nicodem, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. We had some technical difficulties, and it wasn't how we were setting up the board. So just to let you folks know, we got that all down. We just had a setting in Skype, which seems to be a very tricky instrument, but we got that under control. We got Larry O'Grady in the studio with us tonight to join us, and Peter Leonard, except Peter Leonard ran out to get some pizza. So that's definitely worth missing a few minutes of the show. So we apologize for the late start, but we're ready to talk paranormal with you tonight, and we'll be going here strong. Sorry, it'll be about a 45-minute show, but we've got some interesting stuff that we want to talk about. Isn't that right, Stevie?
That's right, Richie.
Hey, you guys like sharks?
Heck yeah.
Hey, did you see that? I know where you're going with this.
You know right where I'm going with the shark that got eaten?
Yes.
I was going to bring that up also.
Oh, come on, man.
Well, has anybody read any more on it? Did they figure out what's going on with it?
Or? Okay, let's all add our pieces to this.
Well, this wasn't just an ordinary shark. This was a great, this is like a 10-foot great white shark.
Bigger than that.
Yeah, no, it was
great
about 10 white.
Huge.
Yeah, well, 10, 19 feet, I think it was.
Let's say 19.
And all of a sudden, but see, these scientists tagged it, and all of a sudden it just went off.
All right, let's lay the groundwork for the story. In Australia, they were tagging great white sharks. And somehow this cinematographer got involved in this, which makes me kind of think that there's something up with this whole story. But anyways, they caught a 9-foot great white shark. Though some stories you read, it says 7-foot. I've seen it both ways. But the one video I watched on Yahoo was the actual cinematographer who was involved in this project said 9-foot. So anyways, they tagged this 9-foot great white shark. And as we know, great white sharks are kind of like the superior predator.
Yeah.
They're definitely apex predator. And anyways, they tagged it, and they wanted to kind of trace its motion, see where it's going, migrating, all that stuff to study and learn more about great white sharks. So anyways, the shark dove and went down a cliff, a trench down off of the coast, and I think it descended down to about 1,900 feet or so, is what they're saying.
Christ.
And then all of a sudden, they were looking at the temperature reading on the tag, as it was giving them back actual temperature readings. And I think it got down to about 5 degrees Celsius, which I'm not exactly sure, but that's cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the tag went up to like 25 degrees Celsius. And then it kept going up and up to a certain and just stayed warm. And they're like, wow, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, the only way something could go down that deep and go up that high in temperature like that is if that shark was ingested or eaten by another animal.
Yes.
And essentially that shark, that 9-foot great white, went from being in the cold water into the belly of something bigger and meaner. So eventually the tag rose up and then actually washed ashore. Obviously no shark. So that's the story. So now they're talking about some big apex predator. And this guy that was on the video is now going to put together this film. He's going to hunt for this thing. You know, they're going to find this killer beast. So what are your theories on that, Steve? I know you want to chime in on something.
Kind of like the Bigfoot of the ocean now. Is this where he's going to go with this? Because sharks, the great white sharks, are the apex predator in the ocean. And now he's saying, what could eat an apex predator shark like that? Only something bigger, stronger. So he's kind of like you. I'm thinking maybe, since he's a cinematographer, and since he does that.
A story in the works, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking that. Larry, what do you think?
I think, you can hardly hear me. I think, wow, that's closer. I think that, I don't know how to work this thing, Steve. Anyways, I think that it might just be another, I mean, it's only, what, 7-8 feet long?
Mm-hmm.
What are the possibilities that it's just a great big great white that ate it?
Well, here's the other thing. When they tag the sharks, don't they tag it on like the dorsal fin or someplace on the outside?
I think so.
So what if this shark was attacked? I mean, not completely eaten, but what if something took a chunk out of it, like the dorsal fin, with the tag and swallowed that part of it, of the shark? Or the shark got in a fight with another shark.
They didn't find a body.
They found the shark.
Not the body, but you know what I mean.
They found the tag.
They found the tag. Oh, well, who's to say something? It just didn't get into a scrap with something else, right. and it got torn off and washed up on shore.
Well, see, that's what I'm thinking. Unless they put this tag inside of the shark somehow that I'm not aware of, sounds to me like it probably got bitten and part of it came off, and whatever bit it was could have been a bigger apex predator.
I want to see teeth marks. I want to see something. I want to see something to prove that it was a bigger predator that, in fact, got this shark. That's what I want to see.
I seen videos.
It's the same stuff as when we do a ghost hunt. When we go on an investigation or something, you're not just going to go by someone's word. You're going to go by, you know, the evidence at hand.
Right.
I seen videos of them tagging a shark, and it was on the dorsal fin. So a bigger shark came along and took a chunk out of it, bit it.
How many times do you see pictures of sharks with bites and chunks taken out of fins? And you know,
right? So, not that I'm trying to take this story down shark. No. You know, going from paranormal radio to shark week radio, but the thing is that it seems to me that they're making this into a paranormal story. Now, remember, paranormal doesn't mean ghost. It means pretty much something that's not normal,
right?
Like a mystery.
Cryptids.
So exactly. So we're going down this paranormal path that there could be this huge apex predator that has never been discovered, or has been hiding from, you know, the sight of mankind for all these years. Now is, you know, digesting and swallowing 9-foot great white sharks.
It's completely possible. I mean, how much of the ocean haven't we discovered? Haven't we gone through? And we have no idea. Like when we were talking about the mermaids last time, a few shows ago when we were here. And they got that video, which is kind of a video, but who's to say? Who's to say there's not something down there that we haven't laid our eyes on? We're laying our eyes on it for, like, the first time. You know, it's crazy.
Exactly.
So, I'm not sitting there saying mermaids are real, because who the hell knows, you know?
I don't know.
As a paranormal investigator, I'm not going to sit there and say ghosts are real. I don't know what it is that we're catching when we go on investigations. It's definitely something paranormal. It's not normal. Doors aren't supposed to open by themselves and things along those lines.
Right. Well, there's definitely some things that could be explained with common laws of physics, if you will, scientific methodology. But sometimes there's things that you just can't explain.
Yep.
Perfect example, when we did an investigation up in the northern part of the state and the one house, and I probably told the story before, but when we tore all down and the whole entire group went outside, homeowner lives there by herself. She's always been there by herself. There was no one else there the whole night we were there. She was outside. She had her dog, and she was holding her cat. So she's pretty much the cat and dog lady. That's it. And I realized I forgot my phone charger. So I'm like, oh, crap. And this is something I do a lot, unfortunately, and I buy a lot of phone chargers. So I ran back into the kitchen, and as I went to the countertop, you know, it was right on the corner, and then there was an entrance. It was a hallway going down. You could see the staircase. I caught something out the corner of my eye just quickly. Then something ran up the stairs, and it was light and it was fast. But it wasn't a cat, because it wasn't a little pip, 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 pip. It wasn't a dog, because you didn't hear the nails scratching. It was a person. You could hear the footsteps. Then it ran across down the hallway, which was right directly over the top of my head, being a two-story house, and then slammed a door. Now, that sort of freaked me out. So I went outside. I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be the cat. This cat's got to be. Went outside, and there she is, holding the cat, the dog sitting at her feet, and I counted all the investigators. Everyone's there. Mm-hmm. Now, I went up to Pete, and I said, Pete, and I told him the story. Should I tell her? He's like, no, you'll probably just freak her out. Let me go in and take a look. So he went into the house. Again, no one was there. He just said, oh, I think I forgot something too, by the way. So he went into the house, went upstairs, came back down, and he said, there's one door that's closed, and it's all the way to the left, and that's where I heard it come from, the left side, upstairs. And it's funny, because that door had a weight in front of it, because it's an older house, and the doors, you know, they creak. You don't want to hear that stuff when you're sleeping at night, you know? So she had, like, you know, like, iron weights or, you know, little obstacles that were holding the doors open. Like, I've seen that 1,000 times in old houses. Something pushed that aside and slammed the door. Now, you can say what you want. Okay, I'm not trying to convince anyone to believe in this or whatever. And Pete almost broke his chair and fell on his arse.
Pete was trying to
this day is
trying the equipment right out. So
he caught it. He was so good. He was like watching a scene from The Matrix just now.
I just hurt my testicles.
But Steve, explain to me what other possibilities it could be if it wasn't paranormal.
I've heard anything from an octopus, a super octopus, or just a big octopus, or a whale.
Squid. No, we're talking about the thing around the stairs.
What do you think, Steve?
This whole week's been great, but could have been anything actually.
I still like when they're catching these giant squid. Who's to say
giant squid? giant squid in the house.
Okay, we're gonna move on past the whole.
But did you see it?
Yes,
got called up here.
Let's move out of the sharks and.
Okay, back to the. Holy shit! You almost did it again.
Wow!
Is that top on?
We are now going to
look at somebody. I heard drip, 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 like it was a Skype.
Rich, we're going to go and redo this whole thing over again.
Okay, so you want to know what our thoughts are on... I can't hear anything.
We're past the sharks.
Okay. We're past the sharks.
Let's get off the sharks.
With the running upstairs.
Yeah, give me something, some plausible physics or whatever to see to what I mean... Let's get past the thing that I saw something at the corner of my eye. That could be basically just a shadow, some weird light or something. I mean, I'll immediately dismiss that. But you tell me what could have made the noises, run up the stairs, running across the hallway over the top of my head, then slamming the door.
You know what some people would probably say? Some people would probably end up saying, what kind of heating system is in it? You know, is it a forced air unit where the ducts will expand and contract? And if so, if the heat was forced through, depending on what time of the year the heat was on, it could expand, and go down the hallway and give you the auditory, I guess, illusion, audio matrix thing, I guess you'd
say.
Okay,
I believe this was in the summer, so.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying, like, different ideas of what people would say and throw at you.
Okay,
you know?
No, that's definitely plausible. Like pipes banging, you know?
Yeah, could have been
But
that.
When you can hear and feel the vibration above your head as it runs across the floor... And it was hardwood floor, so they make a distinct noise as you run across it. And the sound, it wasn't like a sneaker. You know, sneakers got a little bit of a muffled step.
It's like a hard sole shoe.
It's like a hard sole shoe. You know, like if I put my dress shoes on and ran, you could hear that heel clucking. But it was a light sound. I mean, again, I have two girls. They're not living at home anymore. They're in college. But we had a house with two stories. And I remember listening to them. I can remember listening to them constantly running across the hall upstairs, floors. So I know that sound is. Mm-hmm. They have that light fleet of foot when they're little kids. They're like, they're quick. And it's like, boop, 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 you know? Versus if you heard me running across the floor,
boom,
going around 230 pounds, you'd be boom.
Especially
boom.
If you hear heel to toe walking. You know, it's one thing if you hear pitter patter of a cat or the pitter patter of a dog. But if you're hearing person walking, it's a specific heel to toe, heel to toe, heel to toe, heel to toe. No, I mean, it could be faster, it could be slower. It's always a heel to toe.
Right.
Steve wants to hear the pitter patter at night so he can.
No, I prefer not to. Thank you.
So
pitter patter.
So yeah, I'm just whatever plausible scientific reasons you can throw at me so that I can say,
what about the wood? I mean, if you contracting. Can the wood contract and cause
that makes a cracking sound, though, doesn't it?
But wouldn't that typically happen more so in the winter? Because, but this was in the summertime, so I mean,
I completely missed whatever user even talking.
Yeah,
about.
Why? Are you
and use isn't that? Even a word.
Use guys is
so use is a word.
I'll just stay out of it.
I used you.
No, you're doing the right thing. I mean, if
I uses you,
see if someone has a better explanation than what you can come up with in your head. You know, see if you can. Solve this.
Right, but why would it make the noise going up the stairs, then take a left, run down the hallway, then slam the door?
Especially
if somebody could come up with an explanation, give us a call, because that doesn't sound
I'd love to hear it.
Doesn't sound normal. It sounds paranormal, quasi-normal. That's what that means.
It's like it went up the stairs and then it turned and not only went up the stairs, but like changed speeds.
Yeah.
Let me give him the call-in number. Can I give him the call-in number?
Yes.
Give him the call-in number, Pete.
I'm sorry.
Just go ahead.
Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll-free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
Steve.
Thank you.
Have you guys ever had a full-blown apparition experience right in your face?
No, I have not. I've had a couple shadow figures. I mean, I'm not talking like you saw a shadow move out the corner of your eye. I'm talking full-on blown. When Pete and I were doing an investigation at the church one night, we both witnessed it. It ran the whole length.
Dramatic.
The whole length of the balcony, blacking out the windows as it went by.
This was at the church. The first investigation I went on with you guys
at the church.
It was at the same place. It was at the same time when I was
right.
there for
that
time.
Was well, one of my that was my full first full blown on experience with actually seeing something physically, other than getting EVPs, having personal experiences, catching things out the corner of my eye, hearing noises. Where I actually witnessed, and it wasn't like just, it was like, you know, 3 seconds or so, whatever time it took to run across that balcony. And then the other time was at that same house that we talked about, where I just shared the experience with the stairs and the floor, where we were sitting in the one bedroom trying to communicate with a child because we found a Valentine's Day card with this child's name. We kept calling it. And then, sure enough, we saw the child walk into the doorway of the bedroom.
It was like short shadow.
Short black shadow. Had a round head like a bowl cut. It was a complete profile. If you were to take a child to take a photo and then trace it and then black it all in, perfect silhouette of a child. And it stopped in front of the bedroom that we were sitting on the floor, paused a second, and then walked into the back bedroom.
That's crazy. What about you, Pete? Apparition right in your face.
Let me get you a picture.
But did,
Steve,
go
to Steve. Let me get you a picture.
Well, what I mean is like something like an apparition that you couldn't get the picture of it. You know you saw it. It was right there. Like, nothing. I was at the Oriskany Battlefield. It's awkward. I was at the... Oh, that sounds better. It does. I'm sorry, Rich. You're right. I'm wrong. I was at the Oriskany Battlefield, and I was there with a group that I made up a long time ago. This was a different group of people. My ex-girlfriend was there. And I thought she was standing next to me the whole time. Well, I kind of glanced over, and she wasn't there, but it looked like there was it looked kind of like any picture you'd see of Mark Twain, like with the big bushy mustache, the longer gray hair. And it was there and it was gone. It was a split second, but it was right in my face. And I could swear that my ex-girlfriend was standing next to me the whole time, but she wasn't there. She was, you know, a few yards away from me on the opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was there and it was, it's like it's burnt into my memory seeing it. It was like, it was a grayish complexion, black eyes. The mustache was a darker color than everything. I mean, nothing was solid. It wasn't set mustache hair. It was just, everything was kind of blended into each other, but it was the palette was blues and grays and it was gone quick. Gone like a picture flashed in front of my face.
Now, do you ever wonder sometimes if this paranormal, as we call it, which is supposed to not be the normal, is just another standard product of the environment that we're just beginning to learn about?
It could be.
I have no big mystery to solve, no big questionable about ghosts. It's just something that's just a naturally occurring phenomena that's there.
There's
common is air, wind, water.
Consciousness, human development, the development of human consciousness. It's still human development. You're still human. It's just a different form of. I mean, it's life still.
But it just
kind of keeps rolling over and going on to different things.
But you know, investigating that there is also this little bit of hysteria induced. Paranormal. Well, you can basically, people will start thinking they see things if someone else sees something.
Yeah.
An investigation, somebody says, I saw something, and they're like, oh, me too. Oh, yeah, I see it now too. And then you're sitting there looking, and it's like, there's nothing there, you know? So I think sometimes, and it's usually a quick second or something like that. It's not usually something that you can look at for a few seconds.
Yeah. And if it is, that's few and far between.
Right.
Who the hell catches that?
And that's why, number one, when you investigate, you always have someone with you to help you validate what you saw. When I saw the shadow figure in the church, the first thing I did is I turned to Pete and I said, Pete, what did you see? Listen to his explanation first. And what he told me was very simple, straightforward, and it exactly matched. He said, saw a shadow figure stand up on the right, it ran to the left, blacked out the windows, and then went down the stairs. Could be more simpler than that. And that's exactly what I saw. That, to me, validates it. Now, I could not make him see that, or have induce him into seeing that, because I never told him what I saw. I said, did you just see that? And that's all I said.
Now, when you close your eyes, Larry, can you still see that face clear as day?
Yeah, clear as day. I could close my eyes right now, and I could see it. It looks like Mark Twain. But like I said, it was not... It was solid. It was right in front of my face, but still, it looked like it was fuzzy. Like, there were no set outlines of the mustache, the eyes. It was just the pattern of what a face would look like. But it was there, right in my face, like I could touch it, but it was a flash and gone. And a creepy thing happened at my store, the store that I work at, about a year and a half ago in the wintertime. A guy was walking out from the back room, filling up I work at a car parts store, so at the end of the night, we got to fill up all of our bulk fluids. And anyways, he's walking out with a big thing of antifreeze, and he goes walking by, and there's a little kid standing there, and he automatically thinks, oh, there's someone in the store, I didn't see him. So he looks around, no one's in the store, and he looks down at the kid, and he's just about to say, do you need help with anything? The kid looks at him and just vanishes. Like, not wispy, not smoky, not any kind of dematerializing into nothing. It was just there and gone. And the kid was standing there for a good 5 seconds. This guy saw him, and he's not the kind of person to BS anything like that. He didn't believe in anything like that until he saw that.
Right.
And that was it.
But the thing is, I think with anyone who's investigated long enough, there are some things that you're going to mistake an identity. There are some things you're probably going to conjure and make up in your head. And there are going to be some things that you really are going to witness. You know what I mean? So again, that's why a lot of times we just basically say, as far as, you know, quote unquote evidence, we say, this is what we experienced. This is what we found.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Exactly. What do you think?
How do we know it's paranormal? We have no clue. It could be a byproduct of something that's naturally occurring in the environment that we just...
Exactly.
The paranormal could, to understand.
The paranormal can be completely... Peter.
My Lord.
Pete's banned from having any liquid near the equipment forever.
Hold on a second.
Three times!
Pete, breathe. We're good.
You're good?
Go
okay. Okay. So, anyways, the paranormal could be completely 100% normal. It's just, scientifically, we haven't come up with an explanation for it yet. I mean...
That's well, I didn't short the power supply out, so we're good there.
Well, yeah, that's a good thing.
That was just a fart.
No more soda in the office.
Did you put the top on that?
That's why I have this over here.
Just like my brother. My brother never puts the tops on anything, and they're cats in my house that like to clear off tables with their tails, so that's awesome.
That's Jesus telling me not to have that.
Jesus, I Jesus, think take so, the yes. wheel. Jesus, just take the wheel.
So, Larry, when I was 7 years old...
Yes, sir.
I awoke from a sleep. I don't know if awoke is a real word, but... And that's why I don't tell this to a lot of people, because they'll argue with you. Well, you were sleeping when you saw it. No, I was completely up. I was 7 years old, and there was a head from about here up, the shoulders up. All I could see was... part of a green uniform, a long white ponytail, the hat, and the meanest looking face I've ever seen in my life. He wasn't looking at me, he was looking straight towards the other wall, and he was marching as he was walking. You could tell, like, he was moving up and down. That was the second floor of the house. Now, the house I lived in was in sight of Fort Stanwix. I mean, we were about 150 feet, yards, whatever you want to call it, away from Fort Stanwix, so it does have relevance.
Yeah.
There. I never knew what it was until the summer I worked there, and you saw me looking up the pictures yep. here. They had a picture of them on the wall. They're called Hanu Hessian Jaeger German mercenary mm-hmm. soldiers mm-hmm. that were with the British Army during mm-hmm. the siege and the Battle of Fort Stanwix. So that was absolutely appropriate to what I saw. I got the chills up my spine when I seen that at the Fort.
So they're basically hired guns, is what they are, pretty much, by
they
whoever
were,
pays
yes.
the most. And that's it. They're not on any side. It's like, well, they paid me to do this, so.
See, like, I'm telling you guys, this story, and I can see that face. I
yep.
just, and it was solid white,
you couldn't see through it. You couldn't see through the green. You couldn't see through. It was solid right there. There was something there, but just shoulder up.
That's crazy.
That's my apparition story. I did see when we did the Farnham Mansion with Rich a couple weeks ago, I did see something of the shoulder area starting to materialize and then just dissipate.
But you know what? It's you really have to, like, pay attention. You got to really sit there and focus. And sometimes you got to turn your head away every once in a while to clear your vision. Because if you stare at something long enough,
you'll start to
something will happen, something will form, and it's usually because your imagination's stony. Come on, do something. Yeah. So every once in a while, you blink, or I usually just turn away and look a different direction, and then start looking at it again to see if it looks the same as it was before.
Mirrors scare me. I don't know about you guys, especially in the dark, and I see at myself, night, I jump 20 feet.
When I wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, my head's down, I go right to the bathroom, I don't look in mirrors, I don't look at anything, because I don't need to see a ghost kid. Ghost little girls scare the hell out of me, or a ghost clown, or a clown, or any kind of clown.
So you don't like clowns?
In a mirror. I don't need that. Especially, like, if you look and then it's not there. Like, I don't need someone in my house. People are always saying, if something's in my house, I don't want it gone. I just want to know. Screw that. I don't want someone in my house. I don't want someone living there rent-free. If I got to pay rent, they got to pay rent for living there.
Especially when it's private time.
What if? Yeah, exactly. I need someone staring at me while it's Larry time.
You don't want any random body fluids going anywhere on the spirits,
nope.
You know?
Nope.
I'm taking it there. But
yeah, that stays there.
Holy moly.
But yeah, I mean, it's terrifying, and that's what people don't understand. When doing paranormal, and that's how you can always judge a team. Have members of the team actually had activity, or are they all skeptical? Because if they're all skeptical, there's really no use bringing them into your house, because nothing they're going to ever find, they're going to believe.
See, the thing is, I believe what I've seen. I believe what I've seen, and that's why I do this, is to see more. See what, if I can dig something up for someone who's a 100% skeptic, doesn't believe in anything, but I show them something physically and they have no explanation for it, I might be able to turn someone over to the dark side. Sorry, Pete.
I'd love that. Not to the actual dark side. No, then that's, you got to get John Zaffis involved.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, let's not go that direction.
Oh, no. Larry.
No, but
Larry. Well, you know what I mean. Larry. Like, no, you can make someone, the kid I work with, he was 100% skeptic. He was interested in knowing about things, but he's never seen anything. Big skeptic. He saw that, and that was it. That was it for him.
Why is it always the guys? Most women believe and all men don't. That's always been my experience, with the exception of, like, us. People into the paranormal. It's like every consult we go, my husband doesn't believe in any of this crap. He tells me I'm crazy, and then you see furniture levitating in front of you. I don't see nothing.
I've had both kinds of experiences like that. I've actually been to a place where the woman, the wife didn't believe, and the husband did. I guess it's if they believe it, or if they see anything strange or peculiar, they're going to say, this is what I've seen. Or, and there's a lot of cases where they just shut it down anyway and say, you know what, if it's there, I don't even want to know.
I do believe that's just something. I mean, all of this, there are different kinds of haunt. This is just something. This is a change of topic. I'm sorry, but there are different kinds of hauntings. There are, like, residual recording hauntings that keep happening over and over again. And too many people are so busy to throw everything in one group. This is ghost, and that's it. Right. There are different things that happen. There are things that could be recorded on the environment. And I think, like, if it is a life after death kind of thing, I mean, I do believe there's got to be a scientific explanation behind it. Something that can be explained, if not now, but in the future. And, I mean, it could just be biology. Biologically, this is going to happen to us. You know, it's a certain way. That is great.
That's just wrong.
What is it?
Elf. In a bodybuilder body.
Uh-huh. But I just think that's just what happens anyways.
Elf?
It's stunning. Yeah. It just happens.
Yes, the elf from the 80s TV show.
But why
does anybody remember what his real name is?
Alien life form.
No, it's...
No, oh dear, yeah.
That's what I'll say.
Gwendolyn.
It's something Jewish, hang on. It's...
Oh, the guy that played Elmo.
No.
He had a real name.
On Melmac. He came from Melmac, and his real name is, damn it, I can't remember, but it doesn't matter because it's not Paranormal. But now it's going to bother me.
Ziggy Kowalski.
Oh, don't tell me, but I got to look.
Oh, well.
What does it say?
Gordon Shumway. That's right.
Gordon Shumway. Holy moly.
So, Larry, have you been keeping up with the Slenderman murders? Have you
seen any of that? Can you...
Was it two girls in Wisconsin stabbed the third girl?
Yeah, and
now they're blaming the Las Vegas shootings
on it? I guess the people that did the Las Vegas shootings wanted to know if they were appeasing the Slender Man the right way. Or I think these crackpots, you know, I don't know.
People always need a reason to kill.
You know, I don't know either.
Well, actually, the Slender Man is actually it's on Wikipedia. And it's defined on Wikipedia as a Slender Man, also known as Slender Man or Slender Man. They just changed the spelling of it. Is a fictional character originated as an internet name created by Something Awful forums using Eric Knudsen, a.k.a. Victor Surge, in 2009. It is depicted as resembling a thin, unnaturally tall man with a blank and usually featureless face wearing a black suit. Stories of Slender Man commonly feature him stalking, abducting, or traumatizing people, particularly children. The Slender Man is not confined to a single narrative, but appears in many disparate works of fiction, most commonly online.
Isn't he in a movie, the Tall Man, the Slender Man, they call him? I remember, has anybody ever seen that Boogeyman DVD where it's a compilation of a bunch of different horror movies?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's the same character that they're talking about. I can't remember the movie. I want to say Phantoms, but I'm not certain.
Well, there's an article on abcnews.go.com that the Slender Man is actually linked to 3 acts of violence now.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously the ones that Pete just talked about. I think the girls in Wisconsin.
Yep.
There is the ones in Las Vegas.
Yep.
And why did a 12-year-old girl? I'm trying to find the third one here. There's actually a third act of violence.
Of course, with the new Facebook update, I can't find the story that I was just looking at a second ago. Oh, no, it was about the Slender Man. I was trying to get the picture for Larry here.
A Cincinnati mom told WLWT she thinks her daughter may have been inspired by Slender Man when she attacked her with a knife in her kitchen wearing a hood and a white mask.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's the third act.
That's why sometimes it is relevant to ask medical questions, and if people do have medical problems, when you
sure, absolutely,
before you go in and investigate a house.
Yeah, you never know what you're walking into. I mean, crazy's crazy.
Yes, and matter of fact, we've had our fair share of cases that we've had to say no to due to the sick the nature, you know.
And people always assume we're associated with the dark when you do paranormal. I don't know how many looks I get from people. They're like, "You're in the paranormal?"
Yeah.
I would never in my life.
Yeah.
Like, yes, we're not all bad people.
Yes.
Just most of us. There's us, and then there's everyone else.
Yeah, but it might have been years ago that people got rid of ghost hunting were like more darkish, you know, evil type of beings. You know, they look different. You know, they always had to. Maybe it's Hollywood, the way they created them on TV, but
the black clothing.
Yeah.
But a few years ago, before all this explosion of the TV shows,
yeah,
a lot of people equated people that investigated the paranormal as devil worshippers or really into dark stuff like that.
Right. But now it's just kind of like, you know, housewives, lawyers, doctors, Indian chiefs, accountants, you know, everybody who's got an interest in the field. Do I dare say that probably the TV show Ghost Hunters inspired a lot of people to get into the paranormal?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I did that the first year I did that event at Lilydale and I brought in Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson. I saw all these different groups of people walk around. They had all these matching t-shirts. And I'm like,
paranormal groups? That many? I mean, I knew, obviously, I was in the field, but I didn't know there's that many of them. And some of them had, I'm an official paranormal investigator, T-shirts on, and pocket protectors, and utility belts, and vests. They look like they're fishing vests. I used to have a fishing vest. I put my lures and stuff on. It looks like they painted them black, and then put, like, you know, all kinds of little pieces of, like, meters and pens and flashlights in it and stuff. And I still want to get me one of those vests. Those have got to be handy while you're investigating.
I was going to get one, but then I figured I won't be able to have sex with a woman if I wear it, so I'm not going
to. Yeah, you probably should get married or something like that. Make sure you get it before you wear one of those.
Lock it down and then start acting like a fool.
We don't have the utility kill.
It's the movie Phantasm is what I'm thinking of.
Phantasm is an awesome, blah, blah, blah. Awesome. Pete Disease, awesome movie.
It came out in 1979, and the guy I'm thinking of is the Tall Man.
Yes.
But he's got to be based on that kind of...
He play a good game, boy.
Was he at ScareCon, too? Or just
no, I tried to get him for ScareCon. Reggie was there. And then Michael Baldwin was the next year.
You better get him soon. He was born in 1926, so he's on borrowed time as it is.
He's a lot of money. I think the number somebody quoted me at the time was he wanted, like, Angus is his first name.
Angus Scrim.
So, yeah, I was thinking Angus Grimm was Angus Scrim. He wants like $8,000 to do an appearance. And a lot of these older celebrities, when they come out, they have a lot of travel restrictions. They need like aisle seat, you know, because they have bad joints.
Sure.
Or they need, you know, certain transportation. Remember when did you guys meet Marilyn Burns at the ScareCon?
Which one?
She had to have people pretty much help her walk around. Boy, she really aged.
Which one was she from? Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went. She was so nice. I went.
Oh, she's a sweetheart.
Nobody was at her booth. Like, she's sitting there all alone. Nobody knew who she was because she's so old. I'm sorry if she's listening. I doubt she is. I felt so bad because she's so old. No one's up going up to her. And I went up to her. I said, I want to tell you right now that Texas Chainsaw Massacre is one of my favorite horror movies of all time. I love it. I can't even go into the South without that being in the back of my mind. And your performance in it was amazing.
She's tiny, too, isn't she? A little thing.
She said, give me a hug. She gave me a hug and everything, and she was really, really nice. Just a nice lady.
You know the one who I thought was really interesting and was just so talkative and everything was Heather Donahue from the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
You'd sit there and talk to her about all kinds of stuff. I know Eric and Pete talked to her for, like, couple hours.
I sat with her too for a while. I sat with her, Pete. How long? I sat with her almost all day.
We had a nice talk about soap making.
Oh boy!
While everybody else was with all the hot girls.
Let me just jump in on this. I can't help it. If you are in a convention that you go to, you should not ever, ever say to the person that movie sucked.
Who said that?
F you. If you say that to people. Oh, when I was sitting at Heather's table, people would stop by, they'd look, see what the movie was, and go, oh, that was a shit movie.
Well,
that movie
sucked.
What
do they do with their lives? What do they do with their lives?
Make a better one.
Yeah, a better one.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's like, okay, no, what was she, 19, 21, early 20s or something when
something
she made
like that?
I mean,
who are people that
wasn't even her life anymore. I mean, she's a big medicinal marijuana grower.
Yeah.
She wrote a book. She has a line of skincare products.
Yep.
Which she kept
which
using
is
and
off.
Actually...
Let me tell you something. These skincare products are going to take off. There was a lot of... there was just a study done about hemp oil with high amounts of THC... And people using it on cancerous skin cancer cells, and like if they have a growth or something, they're using it and they rub it on it, and basically it makes the cancer cells not know what they're doing anymore. And you constantly use it, and you constantly.
So it's kind of like confusion.
Didn't we just?
And it confuses them, and they just kind of go away.
Did you hear along the same lines of Larry? But this is now paranormal. I saw this on TV this morning. Do you remember a thing called oil pulling? Or oil pulling?
Like hydrofrack?
No. What this is, and they're using coconut oil. And usually when you buy coconut oil in the supermarket, it's like liquid soap, it's denser. Mm-hmm. So you need to heat it up to get it to its more of an oil form. Turning it till it's hot to the touch. But what you do is you take like a certain size of this, you warm it up, and then you swish it around your mouth, like mouthwash, for like 15, 20 minutes. Every day, and the oil kills the bacteria that's in your teeth, it actually pulls it. It absorbs it all out of your mouth, and it changes the pH in your mouth. It whitens your teeth. And the lady who was doing it, one of the people, had a story in there. She said that she'd been sleeping better with it, everything. It cleans the impurities out of your mouth. Because, you know, your mouth is one of the dirtiest parts. These impurities and germs and bacteria get in there. And this oil-pulling thing, if you can get through it with coconut oil for 15, 20 minutes, swish it around your mouth, takes all that impurity and plaque and all kinds of crack. And then you spit it out, and that's like, it's all gone.
It also lowers cholesterol, because I tried doing that for a little bit.
Oh, did you?
They would tell you to make, like, tea with the coconut oil, and it's disgustingly gross.
I imagine.
It comes in a solid form, because it's solid at room temperature, so you have to melt it down to some extent. And it's just, ugh.
You put it in
but
tea?
But they said to lower cholesterol, or eat it by the spoon if you can swallow it.
I'll tell you right now, there's going to be some great, great, great advancements in science when it comes to disease research and things really, really soon. So
chia pet seeds are good for you, too. If you eat them.
For real?
Oh, absolutely. For diabetes.
Grow hair on your head, Steve?
No, they're for diabetes. It's for cholesterol. It's for a lot of different things. Look it up when you get home.
Well,
really good.
If I didn't mess around with the wrong hole earlier, you guys would have had 15 minutes.
Was one thing in the wrong spot? Is that what happened?
It's me. Everything's in the wrong spot.
No, it was just an adjustment in Skype, I think. Is what we had to. The board's all set up correctly.
This piece of crap is frigged.
So, yeah.
And then you try to kill it with the Coke.
Four times.
Three times. Was it four?
I don't even know.
It was three times. Yeah. Three times. And after the second time, I said, maybe you should put the top on that.
Well, he's got a chair now from the Donald Trump collection, so hopefully he'll...
The Donald's...
Staples carries the Donald Trump collection.
Oh, okay.
It's like some, it's a couple $200 chair, which by the way is expensive for a chair. But
on that note, I'm Peter Leonard.
I'm Rich Nicodem.
I'm Steve Roscoe.
And I'm Larry O'Grady.
Until next 2 weeks, we will be in an office. We just need the right key.
Wait, we're not doing one next week.
Oh yes, there is one next.
Yeah, there is one Tuesday. Next Tuesday
at 7 p.m. Live Paranormal.
We will be here.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.
Stay spooky.